Well, welcome to our third week into the book of Judges. Earlier, Carla read just the beginning of this story. This story is not about just one heroine. This story is actually about two heroines. It is a story of a call. It is a story of obedience. It is also a story of war. It is a story of daring, a story where the expected does the expected and the unexpected rises up to secure victory. It is also a story of missed opportunities and a story of insecurity. And I wish I had time to go through the entire story. I mean, chapter 4 of Judges could be 3 or 4 or 5 sermons alone, but we're going to just do one. This story starts out like every other story so far. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord now that Ehud was dead. Surprise, surprise, right? So, and it says the Lord went on to allow them to be conquered by Jabin, king of Canaan. And he had this great general, this general Sisera, the commander of his army. And his army had 900 chariots fitted with iron, and that for 20 years he cruelly oppressed the Israelites. I mean, having these 900 chariots, this is like having an armored tank division at your disposal that can roll through quickly and destroy people fast and horrifically. It's quite an army. And verse 4 says, now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lipidoth, was leading Israel at the time. And she held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Deborah is a faithful woman. She was a prophet called by God to lead the people of Israel out of this 20 years of oppression. In verse 6 it says, she sent for Barak, son of Abinadab, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. So Deborah, this prophet, the leader of Israel, receives a vision of victory. Her general, Barak, and the Israelites are promised victory over this mighty Jabin army. And I'm sure that Deborah, being the good and godly woman she was keenly aware of God delivering the Israelites time and time again. And as the judge, I'm sure she had taught the people about their history, about their law, and about their God. And I'm sure she taught them that when God promises victory, God delivers victory. And she tells General Barak what God says. This moment should have been a great moment for Barak. He's the general. He's to lead the troops boldly into battle the way General Sherman marched to the sea or the way Patton pushed the Nazis back as he was sent to rescue the besieged American troops of Bastogne. Instead of receiving his orders and then giving his troops the speech of a lifetime, right? Because that's what generals do. You get the troops together, you get them rallied, you give them the rah-rah speech. Instead of doing that, what does Barak do? Verse 8 says, Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Barak is supposed to be her general. Barak has heard of God's vision and the promise of victory. Now, mind you, going to war is not a pleasant task. Barak was facing their commander, Sisera, who had these 900 chariots fitted with iron. And the scripture said that he was a cruel and oppressive man. He was like the Germans, Erwin Rommel, a great, powerful commander with a big, giant armor division behind him. And Barak had a choice here. He could A, trust God, the eternal creator, deliverer, and believe God's promise of victory. Or he could rely on simply seeing things from an earthly perspective. And despite the promise of victory, Barak is fearful. Barak is hesitant. And Barak refuses to go unless Deborah goes with him. To which she replies, "Certainly, I will go with you. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. As I said before, Barak was not being asked to preside over a peaceful surrender. God was calling him to take an army to war. And if you remember last week's message, we are all being called to a spiritual war. Being a Christian is not an easy task. In battles, we'll face trials and challenges and temptations. But instead of having faith that God would deliver victory as promised, Barak has doubt. Barak lacks faith. And because of his reluctance, Deborah tells him that he will not receive the honor for the victory. You see, our God is a God of blessing. But blessing comes with faith and obedience. And as the story goes in the scripture, Deborah directs Barak and his army on a very successful campaign. Every enemy soldier is killed or captured, and the enemy's general, Sisera, goes on the run. And I encourage you to look up Judges 4 and read the story, because it's a good story. I mean, this is television worthy. This is Netflix binge worthy story. So Sisera goes on the run, and the scripture tells us in verse 17, Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber, the Kenite. Sisera tries to hold up an ally territory. These are supposed to be his friends. He thinks he finds hospitality, and instead he finds his demise. And again, I encourage you to read the whole story, but we're going to jump ahead to verse 21. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Yuck. Who's cleaning that mess up, right? I told you it's a good story. Despite Barak's hesitation at first, we still have a happy ending after all. But as Deborah prophesied, Barak was not the one to receive the honor and recognition for the death of Sisera. You guys were all waiting for Deborah to be the superhero, weren't you? But it wasn't. Chapter 5, after verse, the chapter that follows, records Israelites' victory in song. They burst out into this great big song, and it concludes this way. So may all your enemies perish, Lord, but may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace 40 years. In this story, it was God's plan to bring peace to Israel, to restore them to a rightful relationship. And we see a faithful Deborah, a reluctant Barak, and an unexpected ending to the story. Israel's army has a complete victory against their enemies, yet it was a non-Israeli woman who kills the enemy's general. And I think an important lesson here is that our reluctance to be obedient primarily hurts ourselves. When we are not faithful to God, when we don't answer the call, when we don't go to battle, our reluctance doesn't hurt God. God does not need us to accomplish his plans. As good as we think we are, as happy as we want to be, God does not need us to accomplish his plans. His plans will not be thwarted by our mistakes or our unwillingness to participate. However, God wants and expects our cooperation. God wants our obedience. God wants our love, and the scriptures say we show our love for God by our obedience. And God wants to bless us. We need to get the thought of blessing away from material and things. I heard a sermon once that said, blessing is a state of being and not a thing. When we think of receiving God's blessing, we think, oh great, I'm going to get something. Give me something. Give me land. Give me money. Give me children. Give me fame. Give me this. They think of things like that in God's blessing. That is not what God's blessing is. God's blessing is a state of being. You see, when we wholeheartedly embrace his plan for our life, we experience life differently. When we are obedient to him, we are able to receive the full store of the blessings that he has planned for us. Now, the truth is, it'll never be easy. So when you think of being blessed by God, don't look for an easy life. It doesn't work that way. But it changes how you live that life. God wanted Barak to be obedient. God wanted him to take a risk, to be the underdog, to go into battle. And guess what? God wants us to get into the game. God wants us to take on challenges. He wants us to face adversity. He wants us to endure trials. From the book of James, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Does anybody think it's joyful? Woo, thank you for another trial, God. Man, that's great stuff. But see, we're thinking wrongly. Because we're looking at the trial and we're not looking at God. We're looking at what we have to face and not looking at our blessing. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's like anything in life. You don't get better unless you do it. You need to study, practice, and prepare, but nothing prepares you better than what? getting in there and doing it. How do you get better at sports? You know what? You can lift weights, you can practice, you can do a lot of things, but you don't get better until you step onto the competitive field and do it, right? How do you get better at band? Well, yeah, you need to practice your notes and learn your instruments, but you don't really get better till you play in a concert with other people in front of an audience. How do you get better at your job? Not by talking about what needs to be done. Not by attending 1,000 planning meetings and everything else. How many people work for places like that? Do we have to have another meeting about the meeting to have a meeting to tell us what we might need to do? No. What do you need to do? You need to roll up your sleeves and you need to make things happen. And verse 5, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I think we all need to ask for wisdom. And I think some of us need to ask for a second or third helping. But here is the important key. Verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. You can't be a Barak. You need to believe and not doubt. Not only do you need to believe, but you also need to be willing to stick it out. And we jump to verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. I know some of you are saying, I've persevered enough. When is enough enough? You know, we all have those moments. But we are promised so much from God. First of all, we're promised so much in this life. According to the scriptures, we can receive things like wisdom, joy, peace, and love. I can tell you from personal experience that living in a state of blessing is incredible. Because when you live in the state of blessing, you don't let those things get to you. Because you have God's peace, God's strength, God's confidence. But ultimately, we are not living for this world. We are living for the next world. And the image that James uses here is not a crown of royalty. A lot of us want to get crowns and consider ourselves princesses and princes. But that's not what James is talking about here. This crown he's talking about is like the headpiece given to Greek champions. You know, you have that image of your head of that person with those leaves, that crown around their head. You know, that's called the crown of your head, right? This is given to Greek champions. The equivalent of a gold medal. You see, by living out our faith in this world, by living in obedience, by living by faith without having doubt, persevering, enduring, we will be crowned as victors for eternity. Victorious for eternity. We have the promise that God will come back again, that He'll take us to a new heaven and a new earth where all the old things are passed away. And all the evil things, all the idolaters, and all the people of hate will be thrown into the lake of fire, and we will live eternally with God. That crown of victory is ours, and that is our promise, that God will win. And by our faith, we will win. So when things seem to be difficult, when the trials seem overwhelming, when you feel like an underdog, know that when God is calling, you can trust Him. God is calling you to have faith. God is calling you to know that He has already proclaimed the victory. And when you follow His plan, you will have victory too. We all need to be more like Deborah. When we are called to go by God, we go. And when others have doubts, we bring them along. We encourage them. We tell them to seek their faith, to see the victory. And like Deborah, in the end, when we see victories, when we see God's goodness, we give all the glory to God. Because let's face it, life can be challenging. Anybody here have a challenge-free life? Anybody ever not had difficult trials? Does anybody not see what's going on in this world? Seeing the ugliness, seeing the hate, seeing our faith being thrown in a trash can? See it being twisted and distorted for evil purposes? God's not calling us to a peaceful surrender here on earth. God is calling us into battle, a battle for lives. Because that crown of victory is not just for us. We are to share the good news of that crown of victory, the good news of eternal life. The good news of a blessed state of life in living for God. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And we're to go out there and live our lives in such ways and to proclaim God's good news in such ways that other people see the truth, understand the truth, and we win that victory and bring them to God. But if we want to be like Barak, and we want to be hesitant, and we want to sit back and ask other people to go and fight on our stead, guess what you're going to miss out on? God's blessing. And the scripture says that if you have fear and doubt and don't believe, guess who doesn't get the crown of victory? That wishy-washiness. There is no waffling with God. You're either in and all in, or you're blown like the waves back and forth, and you don't receive the crown of victory. You don't get the honor. You don't get the glory. You don't get the blessing. The blessing goes to those who go to battle. The blessing goes to those who stand up, who have faith, who believe, who persevere, and who endure. And that's the kind of Christians that we need to be. And we don't have to do it alone. God has given us everything that we need. And through our faith and through our power and through our community as a church, we are to come together and serve faithfully together, lifting each other up, encouraging each other to stay on the path and to follow God. But more importantly, our full faith, without doubt, needs to go to God. Let us pray. Mighty God, your Son said it would not be an easy path, that the road would be rough, that people would hate us, and the world has fought against your light and your truth since the fall of Adam and Eve. But Lord, your grace continues to abound. Your desire to love and redeem your creation is evident in your holy word. And Lord, you've called us into cooperation, not by force, but by love. For you loved us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us, who has forgiven us, who has washed us and made us worthy to be called children of God. And Lord, may we be your children that are faithful, obedient, and willing to persevere any and every call that you have for us. Continue to give us strength in the face of adversity, in the face of this world, even when it seems overwhelming. May our faith always look towards you. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God has called us to be warriors. God has called us to go out into battle. He didn't tell Barak to go there by himself, did he? He said, take 10,000 with you. And it doesn't matter what the odds are. It doesn't matter if there's big chariots flying around and doing anything. I'm going to lead you to a path of victory. And when God calls, it will always be a path of victory. It will still be war. It will still be a challenge. You still got to pick up your spear and your sword and go into battle. But I promise you, God will give you the strength and give you the victory when you answer his call. And your choice today is to be reluctant or to be faithful. When you leave here and walk out of these doors, are you ready to be faithful? Or will you be hesitant? My prayer for you today is that you will not fear the battle, that you will hear God's call and know that all that he calls you to do, he will equip you, he will empower you, and he will bless you so that you may secure the victory that God has called you to get. Leave here now, knowing in good faith that God empowers you through his Holy Spirit by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the eternal Creator, our Heavenly Father. Amen.